Okay. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. These are the words of God.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate that so much. Well, today is our final sermon on Maranatha. I want to put an N in there too many times. Maranatha, which means, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Originally, I had planned to preach 24 and 25 of Matthew, but since my sickness and the 5 weeks that have gone by, and we're getting close to Lent, which starts, I think, this coming week and next Sunday, we're going to move on to the cross. But basically, the parables that are there after this passage today are all on the theme of what the whole theme of is in the entire 24 and 25, and that's be ready. He's coming. Now, I said along the way that people believe differently about the rapture. Some believe, you know, that it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Some believe there won't be a rapture. Some, you know, just have differing ideas on this, and that's perfectly all right. As I said in the beginning, pan-trib means it's all going to pan out somewhere or another. He's coming back at some point because he said he was, and if he said it, he's coming. I'm old-fashioned. I'm the one that believes in the rapture. I believe the rapture will occur, and we are looking today at the end of the tribulation. The rapture occurs, and then there's 7 years of tribulation, which will be the most awful time that has ever happened on earth. And at the conclusion of those 7 years, we call the second coming of Christ coming and happening. The reason the rapture is not the second coming is because only the Christians, only the people that have Christ in their heart will know that. The other people will not know that. They won't see it. They'll just notice that a lot of people disappear. And as I've told you, the networks will go absolutely crazy. The news people will never figure this one out. But at the second coming, at the end of the tribulation, we will all see it. The whole world will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be celestial fireworks like you've never seen before. You may have thought when you go to Burlington on July the 4th and see all those fireworks, man, almighty. But wait till you see what the Lord's going to do when he comes back. It will be celestial fireworks like you've never seen or dreamed of in your life. This is the most significant event in Bible prophecy, the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are over 300 separate prophecies relating to it, making it one of the most important doctrines in the Bible. It unlocks the door that leads to the future. And I don't think we can have a well-rounded faith if we don't understand the basic truth of the second coming of Christ, because this is where all the roads of history and prophecy converge. Now, David Jeremiah, who happens to be among my favorite preachers, maybe my very favorite, says that for every biblical prophecy of the first coming of Christ, there are 8 on the second coming. What does that tell you? Now, the first time, you know, he came in quietness. Only a few knew it, a few shepherds, some wise men. Very few knew about it. It wasn't all the, it wasn't a huge event that everyone saw or knew about. And it was very quietly, very holy, very humbly. Not so on the second coming. It won't be that way. This ought to alert us to the importance of our topic. Christians have always believed that in some way or another, Christ will come back to earth one day. Why? Because he said he would. If he said it, you better believe it. It's the climax of many of our creeds. It is the proof of human sovereignty over, or rather God's sovereignty over human history. His coming will bring an end to this age and usher in the coming kingdom of God, what I believe will be the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth. It will bring the final stage of our redemption, the culmination of all that God has promised to those people that love His Son. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about it. The longer I live on this earth and see what's happening, and my friends, I'm going to tell you that there are some wonderful things on earth, but when I look at the economy and I look what the future holds, you know, I say over and over and over, even so, Lord Jesus, come. That is my prayer. Because, you know, when you face the future, if we go for the future just by what we see here on earth, it is not very bright at all. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Here we have, the Bible says this right here. No question when this happens. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. That's the translation there. When does it happen? The second coming. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And what a relief it will be for those who have come to know Christ during that time. In this context, there's only one way this could be interpreted, and that is the coming seven-year tribulation that immediately precedes the coming of Christ on earth. This will be the culmination of it, the end of the 7 years of tribulation. He has finished warning his disciples about the Antichrist, who will do what? Commit the abomination that causes desolation, cause something to be just very ugly taken against our Lord and Savior, something that it will be very unholy. It will lead to a time of trouble never before seen on this earth and never, thank God, to be seen again. That prediction, though prefigured by the Roman conquest of Jerusalem in 70 AD, has really never been literally fulfilled yet. But in the days to come, we believe the whole world will be plunged into chaos as the Antichrist rises to power and the various judgments of Revelation are poured out on the earth. When these days have come to their fearful climax, then Jesus will return for what we call the glorious appearing or the second coming. I don't know. I keep my eyes on Israel a lot. I guess you do too. About what's going on there. Kind of as maybe a way of seeing, well, maybe the Lord's going to come back soon because of all these things happening with His people in Israel. Right now, I don't think there's ever been a more dangerous time for Israel. While I was out, I've been able to watch some very scholarly people, especially on Sundays on some of the Christian shows. And I'm going to tell you, Israel is being threatened all around, especially by Iran, which could be a threat to all of us. But if you think of all the countries that are surrounding Israel and how many of them are reported to have nuclear weapons, it is a dangerous time. But I'm going to tell you, Israel will not take it sitting down. Israel will not take it sitting down. I don't know that we have a better ally than Israel. I'm ashamed of the United States of America for the way we're doing them now. And somebody needs to get on their knees and ask God to forgive them. And that includes a lot of Washington. Israel has always been the chosen people. They're not perfect. They've done things that are not right. God has punished them over and over, but they're still here. They're still here. I believe they are that generation that the Lord refers to, because we've had generations of people come and go, nations come and go, but going back almost to the very beginning, and the Jewish people, where are they at today? They're still here. They're in their country. They have fought for that country. That is their land. And we need to respect them for that, no? Not say they're perfect. We need to pray for and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They need Christ. And many of them will come to know Christ if I understand the tribulation as I should. There's going to be, I believe, 144,000 Jewish evangelists who will be going out reaching these people for Christ. And they'll come to know Him and welcome the Messiah back. That will be, to me, the most glorious time of history. But pray for Israel and pray for this nation that we'll get our heads on straight again, because I don't think they're on straight right now. These are a marvelous people who go through awful things. And just how would you think to go to sleep every night thinking that nuclear warheads are all pointed at you? But they won't take it sitting down. Well, what's going to happen in these days at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back? The sun is going to be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven will be shaken, as Craig read to you a while ago. Now let me tell you something. That is celestial fireworks. Three specific cosmic signs of the return of Christ. And then one general cosmic sign. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The most important point to be made is that these are not figurative things. These are literal events that I believe will happen in the future. Somehow the sun will be darkened. Somehow the moon will disappear. The stars will fall from the sky, and every star, planet, comet, meteor, asteroid, and every other heavenly body will be shaken out of its God-appointed place. There's no reason to doubt this. Colossians 1 tells us that in Christ, all things are held together. He's the glue of the universe. If Christ were to say the word today, the sun would be darkened, the moon would no longer shine, the stars would fall from the sky. In fact, if Christ said the word, gravity would cease and the universe would explode into trillions and trillions of pieces. The only thing that keeps us together right now, folks, is the sovereign word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you better believe that, because that is the truth. When Christ returns, the gravitational field is going to be altered somehow. I don't know if I could explain that to you, because I think that will be a miracle of God, causing the stars to veer from their courses, the planets to careen off there into space, and the most amazing event in world history will happen. Here are three words that will describe this event. Terrifying, it will be terrifying to see. It will also be worldwide, that all will see, not just a few, but all, and it will be unmistakable. No one will miss what is going to happen on the second coming. All these things are signs of divine judgment. They are God's way of waking up a rebellious world and saying, "You wanted nothing to do with me. So I let you go your own way. You followed the Antichrist. You gave him your allegiance. Look where it's gotten you. Your ancestors rejected my son, and you have followed his satanic replacement. Oh world, there is bad news ahead. You made the wrong choice. You forgot about me. The day of judgment has arrived." That is not good news. But it will happen. It will happen. Now, there are other references in Scripture that also talk about things similar to this and what's going to happen in the celestial space. You can look in Matthew that I just read to you, Isaiah 13, Isaiah 34, Joel 2, Haggai 2 and 6 and 7, Luke 17, and in Revelation 6, verses 12 and 13. They're all there. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. What is His power and great glory? I think it's the Shekinah glory of the Lord that is spoken about, especially in the Old Testament. That bright, wonderful, marvelous, glorious, holy appearance that just knocks you to your feet. The Shekinah glory of the Lord. Zechariah 14 tells us that when Christ comes, His feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. John Walvoord, another great prophetic expert, points out that the second coming will be like a stately procession that everyone will see in the sky. Unlike the rapture, which will happen in the twinkling of an eye, the warring combatants led by the Antichrist, who gather first to attack each other and then join forces to attack the Son of God as He journeys from heaven to earth, will actually see Christ as He makes His way with His church from heaven to earth, surrounded by the saints and the angels and that Shekinah billowing clouds of God's glory. The phrase all the nations is, as we said, literally all the tribes of the earth. First and foremost, I believe, to the tribes of Israel and extending to the nations. But I think the primary meaning there is to Israel. The people of the earth will mourn. The Bible says this. They will mourn when they see Christ coming because they know He's coming in judgment. They realize they're not ready for His coming. This will be a sign visible to the entire earth. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him. And all tribes of the earth will wail in mourning because of this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. It will be, as I said, with power and great glory. Again, we say that I believe that is, of course, a reference to Shekinah glory. The best way to understand this, understand the circumstances of the first coming and the second coming. Jesus came first, as I told you, unnoticed. The second time, every eye will see Him. Every eye will see Him. In His first coming, He was humble, born where? In a stable in Bethlehem. When He returns, He'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen on that? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the first coming, He put up with a mockery of men who despised Him for His goodness. And although He was the Son of God, He allowed them to put Him to death that He might thereby provide salvation for the world. But when He comes again, all mockery will cease, will stop. For He will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He comes the second time, listen to this, my friends, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. 2,000 years ago, the religious leaders scorned at Him. He saved others, but Himself He cannot save. The day is coming when the whole world will see Jesus as He really is. And when that happens, every knee will bow. Every tongue confess, even you atheists, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Around the first coming, you can write the word humility. Around the second coming, write the word glory, that all the world may see. Nothing could be more natural than a triumphant return of the victorious Lord. Though he was once despised and rejected by men, he will return in power and in great glory, heralded by the angels and all the saints that accompany him. So what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Matthew 24:31. From the four corners of the earth, he will send out his angels to gather the elect, the true believers in Jesus, found in every country and in every culture. There will be many who will be hiding to have escaped the persecution of the Antichrist, but the Lord knows where they're at. He knows his own, and his angels will find them. There are true believers who did not take the mark during the tribulation, who would not follow the Antichrist, and who have managed to escape being beheaded by the Antichrist. And though hounded and hated and tracked down by like wild animals, they survived somehow those last terrible days of the great tribulation. And now they're being assembled together before the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe also that this will be the moment that the saints of the Old Testament will be raised from the dead. And I base that on Daniel 12, verse 2. The elect who are gathered with the tribulation saints who believed in Jesus, plus these Old Testament believers who are raised from the dead, will be gathered together and brought into that 1,000-year millennial kingdom that Christ will establish on earth. And they, along with the already raised and raptured believers of our church age and the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, will constitute the beginning population of the earthly kingdom of Christ. So this gathering of the elect suggests a worldwide harvest of souls in the final days. And even when Satan is set loose to wreak havoc on the earth, God's grace will have a profound effect on millions of people. Those chosen by God and called by God will respond in profound saving faith. And while the world goes to hell, many, perhaps millions, will find a way to heaven. Right beside this verse, Romans 11:26, here the Apostle Paul declares that when Christ returns, all Israel will be saved. At that point, the prophecies of Zechariah will come to pass, and the Lord will give salvation to the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem may not surpass that of Judah. Zechariah 12:7. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Zechariah 12:10. There shall be a fountain opened up for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Days are coming when Jews in vast numbers will willingly, freely, gladly, and openly trust Christ as Savior. They will look upon the one that they pierced. They will realize their mistake, and a fountain of forgiveness will be opened to them, and the partial blindness that has been upon the Jewish people will be removed, and the nation will reverse the judgment that it made 2,000 years ago. And the official rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ will be thrown out of court that day. Thrown out of court. And he will be enthroned in his proper place as the true Son of David, who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, only a tiny remnant right now of the Jews have embraced Christ as Lord. But all that will change when Jesus returns to earth, and the sons of Abraham will come home to the Son of David and worship him as Savior and Lord. From the fig tree, learn this lesson. As soon as its branches get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. The Jewish people would understand this far better than us because there are a lot of figs trees there. They will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. And so what he's saying here, the Lord's saying, is just as you see the fig tree beginning, you know, to bud and bloom, you will know that he is near because he has given us these signs. He's given us these things to look for. And as we see these things happening, we know the time is near of his return. Truly, I say to you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Matthew 24:34. Here we go back to what I was speaking of a while ago. This great generation of verse 34. What generation is he talking about? Couldn't have been the first year, or rather the first century generation that heard his words, because all of he spoke of did not happen in that generation. Even if you say the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 prefigured the events of the last days, there's no sense in which the events of verses 29 through 31 happened that I've just read to you earlier or any time since then. So the Greek word translated generation can sometimes mean race or ethnic group. In the context of Matthew 23 and Matthew 24, it would be something like this. This unbelieving race of people, the nation of Israel, will not pass away, but will be preserved by God across the centuries, even in unbelief as they have been, until all of God's purposes for them are finally fulfilled. Now, J.C. Riley, another great commentator, has said across the centuries, he's seen in this verse a sort of divine protection for the Jewish people. And it is amazing for us to consider today, it is a miracle that the Jews are still here, even though what they went with Hitler, trying to wipe out the Jews altogether. And what other things that the nation of Israel and the Jewish people have been through, they are still with us, and I believe that is what he refers to as this generation. The God who cannot lie has preserved the Jewish people across the centuries, while the nations have attacked them over and over, have largely fallen to dust. Then he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We know what that means. The words of Christ are eternal. They are trustworthy. You can bank on them. You can invest on them because they are true. They have been true. They've been true since they've been there in God's holy word, and they will continue to be true. They are the word of God. His word will stand. Every jot, every tittle will be fulfilled. He will return just as he promised. So there is a theological term that the theologians use to describe the coming of Christ. They say that it is imminent. That means in any moment. When we declare that his coming is imminent, we mean it's always possible. It's never impossible. He is coming. He may come soon. He could come today in the rapture. And we'll say, our new Lord, that you would come after us. Been 2,000 years since he went to heaven, and some of God's children right now feel tired and hungry. And we wonder why he hasn't come back yet. I look at the world and see how they push the crosses out of all public places, push the word of God out of all public places. And I want to tell you something. If they did that to me, I'd be so mad. I'd take this thing up and just throw it just as far as I could. And I'd slap my hand down and say, go get them! But he hasn't. I think there's one reason for that. M-E-R-C-Y. He's given us every opportunity. Every opportunity. But I'm telling you, my friends, one day, that'll be over. For you Christians, don't give up. Take heart. One day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. Hang in there, child of God, and just keep getting up every morning and looking out that window and seeing that beautiful sunrise as I see it over Four Corner Farms every morning, that you can see the sun and hopefully don't smell the cows, that you can say, maybe today will be the rapture. Maybe the day will be today that He'll take all Christians back with Him. Maybe this could be the day. And then that awful time on earth will begin. God help those who are here in those 7 years. And then He will come back at the end of those 7 years and come to rule this earth for 1,000 years. So believe in His coming. Believe in the rapture. I believe in it. Pray for it. Love it. Preach it as I try to do. Watch for it. Wait for it. Expect for it. And look for His coming. Because, my friends, one day He is coming again. I can't be certain when it is, because of Craig reading that verse to you that says, nobody knows but the Father. Nobody knows here on earth. Nobody knows, not even the angels. Nobody but the Father. But we should always, as a good Boy Scout, be prepared, because He may come at any moment. So be ready. Be ready, for that moment could be today. Today. Are you ready for the Lord? Have you accepted Him as your Savior and Lord? Do you want to escape the horrors of the tribulation? Then trust in Him. And you will. You will. Nothing to be afraid of. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your faith in Him. Open up your heart to Him. And let me tell you, you don't have nothing to be fearful of. For you'll be with Him forever. He has promised you that I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never once has God forsaken you who are Christians. Never once, though you've been through some of the trials like I've been through or you've been through. Never once when you've been in a place of fear. Never once when you've been in a place of doubt. Never once when you've been in a place of distress. Never once when you've been in mourning. Never once has Christ deserted you. He's been with you, and you owe Him your thanks for that. He's there. Never once has He departed from you. You owe your life to Him. And if you haven't done that yet, today's a good day to do it. Today's a good day to come. And He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He'll never depart from you. Never once. He will always be your Savior and Lord. So be prepared. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Dear Lord, if there's anyone here today who has not accepted You as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will. We know a lot of things are going to happen in the future. Many things, Lord, that we don't completely understand. Some things we never will understand. We do the best we can. We read all we can, and we try to come up with the best conclusions that we do, but we know it's really up to You. What is important is that You are coming. I believe that with all my heart. And then after the awful days of tribulation, You will come again and rescue those who went through the tribulation without taking the mark of the Antichrist, and especially come to rescue Your people, Israel. So, Lord, there's so much we can look forward to if we have You in our hearts. And I pray that we will. In Jesus Christ's name we'll pray. Amen. Well, you know I'm back because I'm changing to Him. I do that so often, don't I, Rhonda? Rhonda, somewhere as Rhonda. What is just as I am? Somehow that's on my heart right now. Just as I am. 342. 342. You don't need a hymn book for just as I am. But if today you would come just as you are. You don't have to dress up, fix up, clean up, none of that. Just come just as you are. And Jesus will receive you into His kingdom. and he will come into your heart and life. Would you come as we sing?